We have a special service today. We will be having 17 individuals being baptized. 17 individuals publicly declaring their faith in Jesus Christ through baptism. So before we hear their testimonies, I want to help prepare us to know what we will be seeing, what we will be hearing. So open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. And if you don't have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, and we would love to give you a Bible so that you can see God's word for yourself. And if you don't own a Bible, keep this as your own. So let's open our Bibles to Romans 6, 3 through 4. If you don't have one, keep your hand raised. I saw some more hands over here on my left. What we're going to see here in Romans is that baptism, according to the Bible, is designed to be a picture, an outward visible reminder of what God has done at the moment of salvation for anybody who puts their faith in Jesus to save them from their sins. So let's read Romans 6, 3 through 4. Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Do you see it there? Baptism is fundamentally a picture of death and new life. When somebody is saved, they turn to Christ in repentance and faith. And the Bible describes this as both new life, being born again, but also at that time there was a death of their old sin committed self. Let me explain. So every person, you, me, every human being besides Jesus who's ever lived is naturally born a sinner, an enemy of God, sinning against him from the heart. We lived for ourselves. We lived for sin. From the time we were born, each of us chose to please ourselves and to serve ourselves instead of God. We reject God's rule, and according to Ephesians 2:3, we do the desires of our body. We do what our body and we do what our mind wants to do. We live for ourselves, even though those desires are against God. In relation to God, we are dead, even while we live for ourselves. And we are born enemies of God, and we earn the just penalty for our sin. That's eternal punishment and separation from him. But God loved us even while we were his enemies. He sent his son to die. When you hear the word gospel, you'll probably hear that word a lot. That word just means good news, and it is the good news of God's love and his sending of his son to die the death that we deserve so that we could be forgiven and receive Jesus' righteousness and through this eternal life with him. And you must know that this right standing with God, that comes only through faith in Jesus and his death. Baptism doesn't earn it. Baptism doesn't accomplish it. Religion, good works, nothing we can do can save us. The salvation from sin and its penalty unto eternal life is pure, undeserved grace. And the Apostle Paul in that verse we read in Romans describes what happens that when someone becomes a Christian, they are forgiven. And at the same time, their entire identity changes. The old person who lived for himself and against God has died. That is no longer who a Christian is. You're going to see some people standing up here saying, and you might have known them before they were saved. And they're going to say, that old person you used to know, I'm not that person anymore. That person died. I have been crucified with Christ, all of them could say. And it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Baptism points back to this change in identity. So baptism is a powerful picture of what God has already done in a believer's life. They are not being saved by being baptized, but they're saying, I was saved. The Greek word for baptism, even the word baptism, it just means to submerge or immerse. So you're going to see these people going down all the way under the water, a plunging, a dunking under the water. And just like when somebody goes down under the water and they stay down, they die. It images that death to who they were. They're not dying when they go under, but they're saying, this is what happened. I died to who I was. And if you notice, we don't leave them down. We pick them back up out of the water. And it is that picture of what God did in salvation. We died to who we were. We now live to Christ. Jesus commanded us to baptize those who have become obedient disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That means for the Christian, this public declaration of being submerged under the water after coming to salvation by grace through faith, this isn't optional. This isn't something that Christians get to say, I'll do it when I want to or if I want to. This is something that every Christian is commanded to do. Every Christian must do a proclamation to themselves and to the world, I'm not who I was. I've died to that man and I now live for Christ. A public aligning of themselves with God and his church. These 17 people are obediently proclaiming and demonstrating their faith in Christ today. You have to know, as I've said, baptism does not save. It is a picture of their salvation. So how should you listen to their testimonies? You will hear 17 stories. Don't zone out. Listen to each one. And as you listen, listen for these three things. You're going to hear them say, here's who I was before Christ. They're not glorying in their sin or making much of their sin, but they're agreeing with God. I was lost. I needed a Savior. And then they're going to say, and Jesus is that Savior. They're going to say, first, who they were before Christ. Secondly, how they were saved. How God brought them to saving faith. And then three, they're going to say how their lives have changed since salvation, the evidence of this new life in Christ that baptism images. In this public act of baptism, they are also inviting you, the church, to hold them accountable to this new life in Christ. And if you are here and are not a Christian, don't sit passively. You will regularly be called to believe. Every single one of these people, in fact, every Christian is where you are now. Dead in your sins, separated from Christ, living for yourself. But you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay an enemy of God who will face God in his judgment, separated, saying, is my goodness good enough for you? It will not be. And when God looks at you and he sees your sin, he has to judge that sin. He must. But because of Christ, God can look at you and say, I already judged that sin on Jesus on the cross and righteously accept you as his child, if only you will turn in repentance and faith like these 17 have. So today's celebration is not primarily about these 17. It's about God's gracious and sovereign work in their life. So let's celebrate together this incredible work of God. First, I'm going to call Maddo Yates up. Maddo, can you come up and boast in your Savior?
Hi, I'm Madeline Yates, and I'm here to boast in my Savior, Jesus Christ. I grew up in a Christian home and as a pastor's kid. I never really read my Bible on my own, but my dad would read to us at night. Though I was considered a good kid at church and at school, at home was a different story. I would get easily angry with my family and would act on that anger a lot. I knew I wasn't right before God, but I didn't know the full weight of my sin. Many nights, I would lie awake, scared of dying, so I would go to my mom and ask her about it. I was terrified of hell, but no matter what verse my mom would read to me, I would not turn from my sin. After fifth grade, I went to my first summer camp. I remember coming home, and I thought maybe I was saved, so I tried being nicer to my siblings. A week after camp, I saw myself sinning, but against my siblings, and thought, oh, I guess I wasn't saved. I was believing in good works, not putting my trust in God. At some point, my mom started taking me and my siblings on individual coffee dates. On these walks to Starbucks, my mom would ask me about my relationship with friends and my relationship with God. I always looked forward to the coffee, but not so much the conversation. It was one of these coffee dates that God opened my eyes. My mom asked me if I thought I was saved, and I said no. Then she asked if I wanted to be saved, and I said yes. Then she asked me, if I wanted to be saved, then why wouldn't I turn and repent? This question was stuck in my head the rest of the day. If I wanted to be saved, then why wouldn't I? I knew I was still holding on to my sin. I was still living for fun and for friends. But I realized I didn't have to be stuck in my sin because God sent his perfect son to die under his wrath to save us from our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That night when I was lying in bed, I prayed to God. I prayed that he would forgive me of my sins. I know that night that God saved me. Since then, I have seen his spirit work in me. I started reading my Bible every day with a true desire to grow in wisdom. I also now desire to use my life to serve God and honor him. I learned so much of how he cares for and loves his people, which has grown my love for him. I am now filled with joy when around my family instead of getting angry at them. I know I now live for God, not for the world. This is nothing I have done, but what God has done in me. Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." This is not a story of my accomplishments, but of God's mercy and goodness. I'm here to be baptized today to remind those of you who have been saved what God has done for you. Now I ask you, believers at GBC, to hold me accountable of my sin. If you see me falling into sin, please confront me. And to those who aren't saved, who haven't put their faith in Jesus, whose path is leading straight to hell, I'm here to tell you that even though you are sinful and there is nothing you can do on your own to get out of hell, there is hope in Jesus Christ. So please look to God and repent. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For those who haven't already, please confess Jesus as Lord and believe that Jesus rose from the dead.
Go this way. Okay. Madeline, on the basis of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ and on the evidence of a transformed life, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Bernard, come on up, boast in your Savior.
Hello, my name is Bernard Koske. I was raised in a Christian home where I learned the importance of prayer, scripture, and the church. As a family, we read the Bible and prayed together. I was baptized when I was young, but as I grew older, I realized that my faith was shaped more by routine than by a true personal relationship with the Lord. Looking back, I can see that my thoughts, motives, and actions were not a reflection of who God wanted me to be. Though I appeared outwardly obedient, my heart was far from him, and inwardly I was proud, deceptive, and careless about my soul. I did not understand the seriousness of my sin or my need for true repentance until, by God's grace, the Lord opened my eyes to see that I needed his mercy, not merely a better outward life. Through the birth of our firstborn daughter and my father's declining health in 2010, I was humbled and saw, as stated in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Through these circumstances, the Lord opened my eyes to the brevity of life and to his sovereign hand over all things. As I began to understand the seriousness of my sin and my need for true repentance, the words of Acts 17:30-31 became clear. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. In that season, I realized that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Although I cannot pinpoint the exact day when I came to trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I understood that I could not be saved by my own weak efforts to be good, but only by God's grace and mercy. As Scripture says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God." I repented and submitted to Christ. I stopped relying on myself and rested in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who died for sinners and rose again, so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. I have learned that Christian life is a continual work of repentance, faith, and obedience. The Lord has been patient and faithful to sustain me, reminding me in Philippians 1:6 that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Also in Colossians 3:2, the word says, "Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." Though I was baptized at an early age, I now understand that I had not yet truly come to saving faith in Christ. By his grace, the Lord opened my eyes to my sin, revealed my need for Jesus Christ, and brought me to repentance and faith in him. So today, I come forward to be baptized in obedience to the Lord Jesus and as a public testimony of the saving grace he has shown me.
Bernard, on the basis of your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and your repentance towards him, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Margaret, come on up. Let's boast in your Savior.
My name is Margaret Koski, and here is my testimony. Before I came to know Christ, I would describe myself as ignorant, deceived, and spiritually lost. I was blind to the truth and living in my own way. My heart was far from God, and I was completely deceiving myself about my true spiritual condition. Genesis 6:5 described my condition well. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Although I grew up in a Christian home and attended church regularly, my heart remained unchanged. I had been baptized young, but nothing in my life reflected true faith. I kept searching for meaning in all the wrong places, trusting my own judgment. God began to break through that deception through the preaching of 1 John. 1 John 1:6 says, "If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." And verse 8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Hearing those words forced me to face the reality of my life. When the question was asked, "Where do you stand with God?" the Holy Spirit brought a heavy conviction over my heart. For the first time, I saw the depth of my sin and how desperately I needed a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." God opened my eyes to see that I could never save myself. By his grace, I finally understood. Ephesians 2:4-5, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." I repented of my sins and trusted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. believing that he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. As of May of last year, my life has changed. I am not perfect, but I am new. I can truly say that I am a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Walking in light doesn't mean I no longer sin, but it means I now live with honesty and transparency before God. I continue reading my Bible and attending church with a new understanding. My love for my Savior has grown since God opened my eyes to the truth of the gospel. I now desire to honor him in what I do, say, and think. I am more aware of my sin and come to him for forgiveness. I stand here today in obedience to God's command and to boast in the work that Christ has done in my life. Thank you.
Hold your nose and I'll...
There you go.
Margaret, on the basis of your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've turned from sin and from trusting in yourself to trust only him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Joe Inesito. Come up, boast in your Savior.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joe Inesito, and this is my testimony. Before I came to Christ, I was blind and self-centered. There were numerous times in my life that God tried to get my attention, and at times, he even had it. But my own life was always more important than truly knowing him. I would describe myself as spiritual, but I kept my distance from churches and from genuine repentance. I was arrogant and believed I did not truly need God. However, I would call on him when I wanted protection or needed something, but never to repent and never to ask forgiveness. My pride would not allow that. I always felt justified in my decisions, whether they were right or wrong. When I was in the army, I would selfishly ask for God's protection because I was afraid of death. After the army, I hid inside my PTSD. I carried it like a heavy weight on my shoulders. I became angry, bitter, isolated, and unwilling to accept help from others because I believed I was strong enough on my own. I lied to myself, to others, and even to God. After the pain and hardship I experienced, I felt like the world owed me something. I wanted vengeance for the pain I felt and for the friends I lost. Instead of facing my brokenness, I buried myself in distractions and unhealthy habits, so I would not have to think, remember, or deal with what was inside me. I buried myself in those distractions to the point where I avoided my responsibilities as a father, as a head of the household, as a man. The pain and anger was too much. The murder of Charlie Kirk was a terrible moment that got my attention. In the aftermath, I saw people celebrating his death. They laughed, made jokes, and openly mocked people who were clearly suffering, including his family. I saw darkness in their eyes that I will never forget, and it terrified me. I saw a world that was rejecting God. After that, I felt a very strong pull to go to church. I spoke to my fiance at the time, who is now my wife, Callie, and we agreed to find one together. I started to see how broken the world truly was, like a veil was slowly being lifted. I saw what a world without God looked like, and it scared me. But at the same time, God also revealed my own heart. I wanted those people to suffer. I wanted them to feel the pain that I felt. I realized I was no different. I needed God. We started attending church here and heard the gospel clearly. I learned that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again so that I could be forgiven and reconciled to God. I realized that I could never save myself through my own strength and that salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. Callie seemed to change faster than I did, even though God was already working on me too. Sin still had a hold on me, and I still wanted to do things my own way instead of fully surrendering myself to Christ. I started feeling an immense distance forming between Callie and I. Even though we were walking the same path together, I felt isolated, lost, and alone. It felt like I was mourning, and eventually I realized what I was mourning. I was mourning my old self. My old life was dying. There was a moment where I realized I needed to let my old self die, and I couldn't just think it silently anymore. I had to say it out loud. When I did, it felt like a veil was lifted, like I had been drowning underwater, and Jesus pulled me out. The weight of my past no longer owned me. The anger, guilt, and bitterness began losing their grip on me. I felt like I had crossed a threshold, and on the other side, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was also where I felt like I spiritually found Callie again. It was overwhelming. I started to see my sin clearly for the first time, and instead of justifying it, I hated it. I realized there was a battle going on inside me, and for the first time in my life, I truly understood what it meant to be born again. I believe God saved me on March 23rd, 2026, through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I see the world in a different light now. I don't just see things differently, I hear them and feel them differently too. Where I once saw darkness, I now see light and hope in Christ. Instead of running from God or hiding from him, I want to grow closer to him. I find myself turning to God's word for guidance and wisdom. When I face problems or difficult decisions, I seek God first and ask what would please him. I still fail at times, but now I repent, keep fighting sin, and continue trying to follow Christ faithfully. Because Christ has saved me, I now desire to be baptized in obedience to him. Today, I publicly declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I want to live the rest of my life for his glory.
Joe, it is an unspeakable privilege, based on your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ and your turning to him in faith and repentance, to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Jacob Redman, come on up. Let's hear you boast in our Savior.
My name is Jacob Redman, and I'm here today to give my testimony as an act of obedience to Christ. I've attended Grace for nearly 4 years with my wife and 4 children. I've been actively attending church for around 15 years. I've spent time at previous churches volunteering, teaching, doing anything needed so my salvation could be justified by my works. I was previously baptized as a child and an adult. As a child, I wasn't sure what it meant. I just thought it was something the pastor made us do. As an adult, I thought I had it all figured out. I believed God was real. I believed Jesus was real, but I was not obedient to his word. There was no evidence of a changed life. I had not surrendered. I understand now that the word was blocked to me. I didn't understand the things I was reading. I tried to do everything on my own. I thought I was in control. Then one night at the start of this year, I realized how far that control had got me. Everything I had tried to do on my own had failed. I was alone and I felt overwhelmed with grief and sadness. I didn't know what else to do. I had never felt that hopeless before. Having nowhere else to turn, I dropped to my knees and began to pray. I asked God to take this burden from me. I told him that I'm ready to submit, that I can't do any of this without him. I continued on for a while, and then while in prayer, it was finally given to me. The forgiveness I was asking for had already been granted. My sin that I was bringing before God, he already knew about. He already sent his son to die on the cross so that a sinner like me could be forgiven. Everything I could ever need had already been given. A verse I had heard many times came to mind that night, Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." I had not been trusting. I wanted things to happen on my timeline and not God's. I thought if I just worked harder or was smarter or was a little more creative, I could outwork all my issues. I was lying to myself and I wasn't ready to submit. Before I would struggle with sin and old habits, I was content with the way I was living. Since then, I feel released from those burdens. John 8:36, "So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." That freedom has come from a faith in Christ, a faith in what he died for, a faith in the word and how I should live my life. I feel encouraged to study and learn God's word. Reading comes easier now than it did before. I feel motivated to let go of old habits and to live for Christ and not myself. It's hard to describe what transpired since that night, but if I had to choose one word, it would be peace. Peace in prayer and asking for guidance, peace in studying and being able to understand the word. I no longer have to make decisions or fix everything on my own. The peace the Lord gives us when we realize the majority of the things we worry about are eternally irrelevant is truly amazing. Obedience to our Father bears so much fruit, not just in this life, but for eternity. I'm eager and excited for this next chapter. I understand that with this comes a higher standard and increased accountability in my life. I welcome discussion from anyone who spots sin in my life and will encourage my heart to receive criticism and grow and use it to grow closer to him, if only for his glory. Thank you.
Jacob, because of your clear understanding of the gospel and because of the evidence in your life of your trusting in him, your surrender, it's a joy to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amanda, come on up. Let's boast in our Savior.
My name is Amanda Rule, and this is my testimony of how I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I did not grow up in a particularly religious family, but there was enough religious context in my upbringing that I had a solid foundation of Christian morals and a basic belief in the existence of God and his goodness. I remember my parents getting me and my brothers children's picture books about heaven to help explain what happened to my grandfather when he passed away when I was 5 years old. However, as I grew older, doubts entered my mind. I lacked a solid grounding in scripture and theology to help me navigate these doubts, and so there they sat in the back of my mind, festering over the years. As a child, I attended an Episcopalian school with chapel and religion classes, but there was no discussion of the gospel or what it meant to be saved. In eighth grade, I remember my teacher saying something along the lines of, "Some people take the Bible word for word, but many others view the stories as metaphorical." Unfortunately, I internalized this and fell back on this fallacy when I encountered difficult questions. I hoped for heaven more than fully believed in it, which made me afraid of dying. I fell into the mindset of, sure, God is probably real, but that has no impact on my life now. If God is real, I'll go to heaven because I'm a good, honest, kind person. If not, then I'll be dead and I won't know the difference. Gospel was a word I had heard a few times, but I didn't know what it meant. I came to view people who believed Jesus saved them and that God actually created the earth in 6 days as uneducated and naive. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I was perishing. I thought I knew more than the Bible. In my arrogance and self-sufficiency, I thought that hell, if anything other than a metaphor, was only for the most wicked people, murderers and criminals, but certainly not me. I didn't see that I, like all of us, deserve hell, and it is only by God's mercy that those who believe in him are saved. But at the time, I hated the idea of God being in control, so I sought to control my own life and find my own fulfillment through worldly things, especially athletic achievements. I placed my entire identity in my training and performance as a rower, but any satisfaction from athletic achievement was short-lived. Though I claimed to love it, rowing was a heavy burden to bear. If I skipped a workout, lost a race, or failed to achieve my goals, I became depressed and anxious. In my early and mid-20s, I carried on with my life, thinking I was doing all the right things. But spiritually, I was completely apathetic. However, my mother was saved in 2017, and in 2020, she brought me to her small Bible church in a small room in a small office complex. I trusted my mother, but I remember feeling that I would have been embarrassed if anybody else knew where I was. There was that arrogance again. Here I was, in a room full of believers, thinking I knew more than they did. But I was intrigued by the preaching. It was the first time I ever heard a true expository biblical sermon. I began to attend whenever my schedule permitted. I had discussions with my parents. I read a lot, but not the Bible. I found the concept of Christianity very compelling, and the seed had certainly been planted in me, but the Bible felt daunting and overwhelming. I had heard the gospel, but I felt unworthy of God's love. Though I became very interested in exploring my faith, I found other better things to do than go to church on Sunday or crack open my Bible. But when I moved to Arizona during the summer of 2023, the first thing I did when I got here was find a church. However, I still had this doubt in me. Was I really saved? I watched sermons online seeking an answer. I had heard the gospel, I attended church and believed in Jesus' death and resurrection, but I did not feel assurance. However, witnessing my parents' baptisms in the summer of 2024 and hearing their testimonies awakened something inside of me. I believe that was the day God saved me. I no longer wanted to just go through the motions of being a Christian. I truly wanted to follow Christ and seek his will for my life. While I still had much to learn, God had given me a genuine desire to know him and to live for him. On that day, I was given the assurance I had been missing. I hadn't been truly saved just because I heard the gospel. What had been missing was the Holy Spirit at work in me, enabling me to respond to the gospel and giving me a desire to read the Bible, develop a prayer life, and deepen my relationship with God. Today, I am grateful that God has adopted me into his family. We are all sinners who live in a fallen world, but God sent his only son to save us by dying the most gruesome and painful death. Because God saved me, I no longer live in fear. I have much less anxiety about the future because I trust that God will provide, and I know that what happens on earth is inconsequential compared to eternity. James chapter 4, verse 14 tells us that we are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. This verse would have filled my heart with dread before I was saved. But now that I know I will be with my Savior for eternity when I pass from this earth, it fills my heart with delight. I now know with absolute certainty that heaven is real, and that while I do not deserve it, by the grace of God and the fact that he moved my heart to believe, I will go there. I recognize my own sinful nature, and each day I strive to be more like Jesus. I will continue to fail and to sin, but keeping Jesus at the forefront of my life has given me new purpose and hope. Instead of being so self-righteous as to think that I can and need to know and understand everything, I take comfort in knowing that God knows all and he is my protector. I am still a relatively new Christian. I know I have a lot to learn, but I am grateful that God chose to save me and that in his perfect timing, I came to understand the truth of the gospel. My prayer is that I will continue to grow and bring glory to God in everything I do in the life that he has gifted me.
Amanda, on the basis of your testimony of faith and evidence of a transformed life, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Eric Walker, come on up, share your testimony, and boast in our Savior.
I'm Eric Walker, and I'm sharing the work which God has done in my life. I've grown up in Grace Bible Church with Christian parents my entire life. In spite of this, I was determined to live my life with as much freedom and as little consequence as possible. obeying my own whims instead of the commands of either my parents or of God. To this end, I became a liar, desperate to hide my own disobedience and to escape any punishment. I hated the rules that my parents had placed on me and was angered whenever confronted for my disobedience. Whenever I was caught, my hard heart responded not by repentance or sorrow, but by deceiving better and hiding my sin more cleverly. James 3:6 says, "The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell." I was so immersed in a world of lies that by second grade, I could convince myself of anything. Reality no longer had any meaning to me. So I convinced myself that I was right before God and thus that my actions had no consequence. I lived this lie for about 10 years with all my sins festering and growing all the more. I was an entirely different person when in the world than in my house or at church because out in the world, I could exercise my own sinful will more freely. Then this last summer, due to my dad getting a new job, God moved my family to Florida. While there, I went to a church summer camp. They went over Proverbs 1 through 3, which describes the fool as one who loves being simple-minded and hates knowledge. That was me. I loved living lies and I hated the truth. God showed this to me and began to unravel my world of lies and led me to the conclusion that I was not actually right before God. The same day that I realized this, the campers all sang a song called A Christian's Daily Prayer, in which one of the lines was, "Make me a living sacrifice, be glorified today." That was the opposite of the anthem of my life. I lived for me and wanted to sacrifice myself for nothing. And God used that as evidence to show me that I was not like the believer in any way, and I did not belong in a room full of believers. I went to bed that night terrified because I knew my Bible well enough to know that I had no reason to expect to wake up outside of hell in the morning. I came back from that camp still terrified with no idea of what to do. So I turned to my parents and told them how I was living my life and that I knew that I was not right before God. Thank God that my free will was still less valuable to me than my life. My dad quoted James 1:5 to me. "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." God loves when sinners ask him for help to begin walking in wisdom, and he loves to give that wisdom. The sinner is hopeless, wandering aimlessly without God's mercy. So God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and bear the wrath meant for the sinner. And because of that sacrifice, God can justly forgive sins and give wisdom generously without reproach. That night I prayed for wisdom, for forgiveness of my sins, and for Christ to be my Lord. And sometime between then and the next month when he came back to Arizona, I was saved by God, and all my sins were placed on the cross 2,000 years ago. Now I'm a beloved son of God instead of the hellbound sinner that I was, all by the work of Christ and the grace of God. Were it not for this work and for this grace, I would still be the headstrong liar living in a world which was not real, all for myself, where I thought there was no consequence. But God has begun and is completing good works in me. Now my delight is to serve in a similar manner to Christ, selflessly, in love. I know that my life is not my own, and I owe it all to Christ, and he is a much better master than I ever was. God is truth, and he has shown me truth. And now I watch my lying tongue, breaking down old habits, and speaking with honesty by the grace of God. But my heart is still deceitful and desperately wicked. God has done amazing work and given the church to hold believers accountable to each other. Please hold me accountable, because I am still very susceptible to self-deception and very prone to wander.
Eric, on the basis of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Sydney, come on up. Let's hear your testimony and your boast in our Savior.
Hello, my name is Sydney Walker, and I'm here to boast about my Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing up in a Christian home, I always knew about the Bible and how important it was. However, I didn't fully understand it. When I was about 5 years old, I was with my dad on a hike, and we were just walking in silence. That was when I started thinking about heaven and hell and where I was going. And I knew I was going to hell. And I was afraid because I knew what hell was, and I did not want to be in eternal torment. And I started to cry, which led to a conversation about salvation. I don't really remember that conversation, but that was definitely not the last. As I got older, I began to become self-absorbed and insecure about many things, especially my body and whether I was pretty or not, which brought me to be miserable. During this time, my dad and I had another talk because my older brother had told my dad what I was struggling with, in which he introduced me to Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That verse I found to be a comfort, but I was still very insecure and I still feared death and hell. During middle school, my relationship with my family, especially my mom, was struggling, and I also struggled with my friends, questioning if they even liked me. By eighth grade, I felt like nothing I did worked, and I began to think that if I died right now, no one would care. I remember in student ministries, Chris Drent introduced the song, Lord, I Need You, and I feel like that came at a perfect time for me, and I realized I needed a savior to pay the penalty for my sin. But I was still struggling, and I was too afraid to talk to my parents, so I told my older brother how I was feeling, and I remember the amount of shame I felt while telling him this. And what he told me was that it was selfishness, and I needed to get my mind off of myself. And that was when I realized I truly was dead in my sin. I was selfish, feared man, was angry, and was afraid. I can't pinpoint exactly when Christ saved me, but I do know it was after that. But that night I asked God if he would forgive me and if he would save me. I was finally ready to submit to him. God has still given me struggles and trials, such as moving to Florida and back again. But instead of thinking God doesn't care about me, which was a temptation, I remembered that this is God's plan for me and that I can trust him. To this day, I still struggle with selfishness and fear of man, but not nearly as much. And any time I see myself battling my insecurities, I remember that 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have in God, and you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." It reminds me that I need to get my mind off of myself and not to live my life for my own pleasure. Now I am much happier, and I enjoy being with my friends and family, and no longer see it as an obligation or a chore. And now I know I can talk to my parents and about my struggles in life. This is not because of me, it is because of Christ who died to pay the penalty for my sin. Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not as a result of works that no one may boast." Now I ask the church that you would hold me accountable to my claim of faith, and if you see me falling into sin, please help me get back onto the path of righteousness.
Sydney, it's a pleasure on the basis of your testimony of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Jack Hendricks, come on up, share your testimony, and boast in our Savior.
Hello, my name is Jack. I have been attending GBC for about 12 years. I'm here today to share what God has done in my life. I grew up in a Christian home and understood the gospel from a young age. I believed that God existed, but my life did not reflect a personal relationship with him. Around middle school, it became more obvious that I was wired a little bit differently than most people. However, rather than embracing God's design for me, I resorted to fear and anxiety. This resulted in me seeking to control my circumstances, thinking it would satisfy my anxiety. But Paul states what my real problem was in Ephesians 2. "And you were dead in your transgressions and sins. In my state of sin, I allowed my anxiety to rule my life. So much so, I began to struggle to interact with people, especially large groups of people. I also became very sensitive to noise and attempted to avoid all situations involving people and noise. I stopped attending student ministries, and participating in the Sunday morning service was a challenge. Positive fellowship opportunities were replaced with hours of solitude, being trapped inside of my own mind, unwilling to take my thoughts captive. My tendency to control my circumstances also severely impacted my family and my relationship with them. Even though I felt like I had no control over my reality, my parents would remind me regularly that I was choosing to follow sin and that it was a terrible master over my life. I would respond in frustration or anger and choose to continue to believe I had no control. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." While from the outside I struggled with fear and anxiety, the root of my problem was sin and its grip on my life. While my parents offered as a solution to sin, the gospel certainly sounded like foolishness to me. While I can't pinpoint an exact moment I was saved, my life began to change in my senior year of high school. The Lord began to soften my heart towards the truth of the gospel using the means of family and faithful friends in this body. I began to see that you either serve one of two masters, one who seeks to destroy you and the other who is gracious and merciful. In his kindness, the Lord helped me understand that even though I thought I was in control of my life, I was actually enslaved to sin, the master who would seek to destroy me. Verse 4 of Ephesians 2, Paul states, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." Now that God has made me alive in Christ, I don't see the gospel as foolishness, but rather, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God, 1 Corinthians 1:18. I now wholeheartedly believe, for by faith you have been saved, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, Ephesians 2:8. While I'm still in a mixed condition and still sin, I now have the power and the desire to fight sin and take my thoughts captive. Fear and anxiety didn't disappear at the moment of salvation, but my debt caused by sin was paid for fully. My sin was changed, or my heart was changed, and I can now rest in God's sovereignty and not grasp to control my situations. My relationship with my family has changed dramatically, and I now desire to serve them. Fellowship with believers is now something I look forward to rather than avoid. I want to be baptized today in order to obey Jesus' commandment for baptism and to give a public declaration of my faith. I ask that the church body would walk alongside me and hold me accountable. Thanks.
Jack, on the basis of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the evidence just of a transformed life, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Emma James, come on up. Boast in our Savior.
My name is Emma James. I am so thankful that I was born in a home where my parents loved Jesus. I was raised going to church every Sunday and being involved in lots of church activities. I was able to hear the gospel from a very young age. The gospel is the good news. We need good news because there's bad news. The bad news is that every person is born as a sinner. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We deserve punishment for our sin, but the good news is that God put the punishment we deserved on his own son. God sent Jesus to earth as a baby, and he lived a perfect life, then was killed and rose from dead, was conquered death. So he took the punishment that I deserved, and that is really good news. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that he might bring to you God, had been seen put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Because of the good news, I can believe in Jesus." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. In Christ Jesus, O Lord." But it's important that I do more than just believe. I want to live for God. And I want to live in a way that brings him glory. Before I became a Christian, I did not love the Lord. I did not want to obey him. I did not want to even talk about him. After Sunday nights, my parents would ask me what I learned in Sunday ministries. I didn't want to talk to my parents about what I learned. I also struggled with pride and anger. I didn't like to be corrected or being told what to do. And when my sophomore year in high school, I became a Christian. And now when my parents ask me about my lesson, I enjoy pulling up my notes and talking about what I learned. I am growing in humility and love for others. It wasn't just my behavior that changed. My heart changed. Galatians 5:22-23 tells us what a believer looks like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know exactly when I saved, but I believe that the gospel is true. And I want to continue love for Jesus. I know I fail, but God is gracious to forgive. I want to continue to grow in the Lord, and the process of sanctification. Sanctification is a process that God uses to make his children more like him. Sometimes he uses his word through preaching, reading, and studying. Sometimes he uses prayer or memorizing scripture. Sometimes he uses trials and hardships. But whatever he uses, he does to make more like him. I have been created for only one reason, and that reason is to bring glory to God. I want to grow to do that better. I know I'm not going to be perfect and I'm in heaven, but I want to continue to grow. Today, I want to be baptized that I can tell you what God has in my life.
Emma Marie James. Because of your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Up. Let's hear your testimony and your boast in our Savior.
Hello, my name is Rudy, and I'm going to boast in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing up, my passions ruled me. As a child, I had always felt the need to assert myself and have my will done, as I was my own ruler. Well, I vividly remember being taught Romans 3:23, stating that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I wasn't truly concerned with my fatal condition nor morality. Despite believing that God was likely very real in the way that he was taught to me at home, I didn't know. This led to a cycle of me wanting things to obsess over my goals, no matter how big or small they were, and led to me ultimately disregarding the people around me and God, despite the call to love our neighbors, and to not care for anything but my own ambitions. After being dissatisfied for too long in middle school, I decided to try and obtain some friends in order to fill my emptiness, and was blessed to have found friends that also grew up in Christian households. Miraculously, despite none of us caring much about our beliefs, we ended up interested in what we heard about our Bibles at church, and ended up discussing what was in it and reading it. After being exposed to the Bible like any other time before, something was different this time. I truly realized that I fell short of God's perfect standard and Jesus' life, and realized that I was guilty and deserving of punishment. This led to me fearing my actions as I realized that every step I took was a step in the wrong direction. And with this in mind, through the grace of God, I began praying, listening to sermons more clearly, and ultimately led me back to the cross. I truly realized that I needed a Savior and that there was hope in his forgiveness towards sinners for my evil and shortcomings that I'd commit against a holy God. And I believe that sometime after this realization in high school, I came to faith in the Lord's work on the cross and his promises. Now, while I still struggle with many sins and selfish desires, God has made me different. Now I go to God with my problems, and I know that he will deliver me from my desires and that he will satisfy me. I now believe that he sent his son Jesus to die to pay my penalties and the penalties for anyone who would believe, as well as take them as his children. And I desire for him to mark my life in all ways. And now I want to be baptized as a public proclamation of my faith and out of obedience to the Lord, and would like to be held accountable by the body of Christ as I continue to grow in faith as a follower of Christ.
Rudy, based on your profession of faith and testimony of changed life in Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Isaac Kershaw, come talk to us about Christ.
Hello, my name is Isaac Kershaw, and I've been attending this very church for all 18 years that I've been alive. However, despite growing up with deeply devoted Christian parents and under accurate biblical teaching, I spent the vast majority of my life totally unrepentant. My goal was to act like a Christian, looking like a good person to friends and onlookers. In the comfort of my own home, however, my act fell apart, subjecting my family to endure a selfish, short-tempered brat with a very quick tongue. Relationships with my family members and closest friends were damaged by cruel words which I spoke with impulse. I cannot count the amount of times my dad or mom, after deserved correction, gently led me to the warning in James 3:6, quote, "And the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our existence, and is set on fire by hell." As I grew up and entered high school, I became more aware of the damages I was causing with my words and set about making myself look outwardly better, not only to onlookers as before, but to the people I was closest with as well. This was not evidenced of a changed heart, however, as at this point, God had not yet saved me. I was not cleaning myself up to be more Christ-like or even be a better person. Rather, I merely wanted to seem better and more likable to preserve the relationships in my life. There was no brokenness over sin, no fear of God, no real repentance. I always intellectually assented to Christianity, believing the contents of the Bible to be true. In a sense, I knew I was walking a hellbound path, but I didn't care. I was too attached to my sin. I don't know the exact moment of salvation, but I do know it was in my junior year of high school. It was then that, by God's grace, I began to realize the folly of my path. I knew the Bible was true. I knew I had nothing but God's wrath in store for me after death, and I knew that Jesus offered a way out. More than that, I knew that following Jesus brought joy. As he says in John 15:10, quote, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." He goes on to say, quote, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete," end quote. I realized that I was willing to rebel and walk into hell just to feel like I was on the throne of my life and not God. Of course, I was never in control of my life. Jesus says in John 8:34 and 36, quote, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave of sin. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." In my pride and selfishness, I had rejected Christ my whole life for the illusion of freedom, when in reality, I was a slave to sin and freedom was in Christ. It was at that time that God saved me from my hard-heartedness, and I began wanting to obey and please him. For the first time in my life, my relationship to sin became one of enmity. I hated my sin instead of wishing to hide it. It was then that I felt the weight of what Christ's death truly meant. God not only humbled himself and became flesh, but furthermore suffered on a Roman cross, enduring the agonizing weight of his Father's wrath, all so that he could save traitors and rebels like me, who, if God did not first save, would have never bent the knee to him. It is only God's mercy and grace that I am saved. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 that I was dead in my trespasses and sins in which I formerly walked. But, quote, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. On account of this saving grace, I wish to be baptized, not only in obedience to his commands, but as a proclamation of God's salvific work in me."
Isaac, because of your faith in Christ and the evidence of changed life in him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Luke, come tell us what Jesus has done for you.
Good morning. My name is Luke. My name is Luke, and this is my testimony of how Jesus Christ brought me to salvation. I was born into a Christian family with God-fearing parents who taught me the gospel at a very young age. I have always known about truth from God's word, and I never doubted God's existence. I knew about salvation, but I always thought I was too young to understand what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. There was a lack of awareness that I had for the gravity of eternity, but I also had no desire to learn about what God had to say to me. Though I was taught things as a child, I did not treasure them in my heart. I brushed off anything that told me I was sinful. I had not made godly friendships while at school, which led me to make decisions that were not honoring to the Lord, and I developed a toxic attitude. This attitude of rebellion and contempt was visible as I showed it by being disrespectful to my parents, and I had a terrible relationship with my siblings. At this point, the only counsel I took was from my friends, if it wasn't from myself. I was wise in my own eyes and extremely prideful. Proverbs 26:12 says, "Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them." Any negative repercussions that followed my own actions only increased my hatred for God. And it was true. I did hate God. I was discontent with the life he gave me and the position I was in. I didn't want God, but he never gave up on me. God used my sin and my pride to bring me to salvation. Once I went into sixth grade, I entered student ministries, which I only went to for my friends. Then in the summer, I went to summer camp. Smedley Yates came to preach a six-part lesson on 2 Corinthians 5. I learned so much from this experience at camp. I vividly remember a long string of thread being weaved through the rows of us students during one of the lessons while Smed held one tiny little colored tip of the long thread. Then Asher Kelso launched the ball of thread out the door and halfway up the hill that the camp was on. As amusing as this was, it actually pictured something far more serious. Smedley went on to explain that the tiny little tip of the thread was our lives. That tiny minuscule piece of thread represented our short time on earth. All the string after that was eternity. But not all of it, just the beginning of it. This opened my eyes to a lot of things. My main takeaways from my time at my first camp were that life is short, eternity is forever, and it mattered now the decisions I made. Learning this produced in me a zeal for God's word and a longing for answers and knowledge for what God had to say to me. For the first time in my life, I wanted to be saved. However, I still didn't want to give up my pride. In the following months, I started reading my Bible, thinking that eventually it would save me. My parents, seeing this newfound eagerness for searching out God's wisdom, encouraged me further in my efforts by giving me a book. The book was about salvation. This book was called Follow Me, and it was by John MacArthur. The book was about salvation, what it meant to be a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. This book changed my life, but the truth is, I barely read the first chapter. After reading only a few pages, I was very confused. I understood almost nothing about what the content in the book was, so I went to my dad and asked him for help. This not only exposed me by showing me that I was not as wise as I thought I was on my own, but it also gave me a chance to be transparent. Me and my dad sat down and discussed some of the topics from the book that I didn't understand. Gradually, the conversation shifted to what salvation might be like in my life. My dad told me that it was impossible to be an unbeliever and go to heaven, or even to please God on our own. The reason why this book confused me was because I was blinded by my own sin, that I couldn't even comprehend what it would be like to be saved. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." However, now it felt like my eyes had been opened, and I saw myself for what I was. I realized finally that I was a sinner in need of salvation, and that the only way to be saved was by putting faith in Jesus Christ. I felt immense guilt for the sins I knew I had committed, and that my whole life had been devoted to fulfilling my own desires. My dad asked me if I wanted to be saved, to which I replied yes. Then he asked me if I believed that Jesus died for my sins and rose again 3 days later. I also said yes. After I gave my life to Jesus that night, we prayed. From that day on, I have been a devoted follower of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has tested me with many various trials that have driven me to lean on him. My relationship with my siblings has grown, which I can thank God for. I seek to honor my parents because I know that God put them in my life to have authority over me. God has given me the ability to fight my sin and seek out what is right. He has given me wisdom and discernment beyond my feeble-minded thinking, wisdom that is far more valuable. Since he saved me, he has been sanctifying me every day, teaching me how to better serve and glorify him throughout my words, actions, and thoughts. I know that whatever happens in my life, my hope is sure in him, and I know that he has prepared a place for me in heaven. All I can ask of you all is, as a church, is to hold me accountable, to keep me in check. I know that I am still on earth, meaning I am in a broken condition. I am still prone to sin and forget God at times. If you see a sin in my life, don't be afraid to address it. Help me to be transparent and to receive instruction with humility. I need all of your help in my life to keep me from falling away and encouragement to continue fighting the good fight. Thank you.
Luke, praise God. Based on your profession of faith and testimony of changed life in Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Madeline, come tell us about God's grace in your life.
Good morning. My name is Maddie, and I'm thankful to have the opportunity to share with you about how the Lord saved me. I've been going to this church since I was 2 years old and have grown up with parents who often direct me to God's Word. I have always had access to a Bible and Christians willing to have conversations with me about God's Word. Even from a young age, I knew that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I was told that I was a sinner in Sunday school classes, church services, and by my parents. Although I was very aware of this fact, I always had a reason to excuse it. I was arrogant and prideful and unwilling to admit what was staring me right in the face. I lied and I hid things. Eventually, I struggled with self-harm and refused to eat. I left home while my family was sleeping one night even with the intention of never coming back. I continually withdrew from people who loved me and tried to help me and clung fast to the worldly wants and desires that continued to destroy me from the outside in. I became bitter, ungrateful, and increasingly prideful. I eventually came to the false conclusion that I could never escape the pit that I had trapped myself in. By that point, not only did I hate all the people who attempted to help me, but I hated God for putting me in the spot that I was in. After years and years of my parents calling me out for my sin and doing their best to redirect me from my hellbound path, I finally acknowledged that I needed to change. On March 14th, Jacob Hantla came over for the third time within a few months to talk to me about what I was going through. It was on that day that, by God's grace, my eyes were opened and I truly wanted to turn to Christ. As my parents and I talked with Jacob, I came to the realization that everything happening with me was dependent on the choices that I had been making. God hadn't put me anywhere. My awful choices were giving me even worse consequences, and the Lord had finally brought me to the end of myself. For the first time ever, I was willing to openly admit to me being the problem instead of others. For once, I didn't place blame on the outside things that weren't in my control or make excuses. I finally realized that I was the problem and Jesus was my solution. There was nothing I could do to fix my situation but turn to Jesus, who offered forgiveness for my sins. As 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Once I confessed, I felt my burden become lighter. I began to mend all of my frayed relationships and gained an appreciation for wise instruction. Not only did my relationship with my friends and family get better, but I began building a relationship with God. I gained a desire to read his word along with a new understanding of it. Passages I had heard many times as a child now started to actually make sense to me. I also had a desire to be at church in order to hear and learn from the sermon, rather than just being there because I could see my friends. Since I confessed my sins and repented, I have become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 explains what happened to me better than I could. It says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Romans 6:6 tells me that through Christ alone I have been forgiven. By his grace I am now no longer a slave to my sin, but I am now being made in the likeness of Christ. While I know that the old Maddie is gone, and I am now growing in sanctification, I will still need accountability and encouragement to persevere along the way. So I'm asking you as my church to help hold me accountable and come alongside me as I grow in faith. I'm excited to be baptized today and to share what Jesus has done in my life and how he has saved me.
Maddie, it is my joy, based on your profession of faith and testimony of changed life in Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Sam Myers, come tell us what your Savior has done.
Hello. My name is Sam Myers. I grew up in the church, this church, actually, and I was constantly exposed to the truth daily from my parents. However, I never had any understanding or outward drive to truly listen to what I was being taught, and I had no will to apply any of it to my own life. All throughout high school and the years following, I searched for peace in every worldly thing I could cling to, and I turned away from God completely. I started reading about other world religions, and I tried to find something that made me feel like I had a purpose in the world. Looking back, I realized that my purpose at the time was to serve myself. The more I thought about these topics, and the more I reflected on my life, I felt trapped in my ways and enslaved to my sins. Friendship, music, and romantic relationships took first priority in my life, and over time, I personally ruined each one of those things through my sinful discontentment of my own life. This led to me developing a deep hatred for myself, which in turn led to a hatred of God for creating me. I blamed other people, myself, and my family for my unhappiness. I clearly knew that only my own sin was what was causing the disorder of my life, but I foolishly thought that I could prevail over my sin without help from the Holy Spirit. The idea of being a slave to sin became a frequent reflection of mine, and through the constant teaching and guidance from my family, stemmed a curiosity for the peace found in trusting the Lord. I prayed for prayed for understanding of God's word and started asking my friends and family questions about faith. I was told by a number of people to start reading the Gospels, and when I started Matthew, the Christian faith became surprisingly clear to me. In Matthew chapter 5, the answer to my lifelong search for peace was made clear. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." This chapter made everything seem more simple than it was before. In Romans chapter 5, the mercy that is given becomes clear as well. It reads, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." After being told these things my entire life, I never truly grasped the sacrifice of a perfect being in the place of my evil soul until now. God truly showed us that he loves us by sacrificing his own son, and he gave us all the chance to reside with him in peace forever. This idea finally hit home for me, and I felt a sudden drive to strive to be more like Christ. I found myself more content with my situation than I ever have been, and I've been taking steps in my life to turn away from my sinful habits and walk closer with the Lord that sacrifices earthly presence to allow his people eternal peace. God taught me that I was created for a purpose, and that purpose is getting the opportunity to serve him, the creator of all things. I have found peace in my mind, and I've developed a newfound appreciation for God's creation of earth and everything on it, as well as a changed perspective on what my own life should look like. I've also found a drive to share the peace I have found in the Lord. I feel that I have finally been granted the strength to combat my sins, that it would not be possible without the Holy Spirit present in my life. I seek to continue my learning in the gospel, and I trust that God has a plan for my life that I hope that I can follow well. Thank you.
I was overwhelmed.
There's so many answered prayers in that testimony. Sam, praise God. Based on your profession of faith and testimony of changed life in him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And Carol Lou, come tell us what your Savior has done for you. While Carol is making her way up, I'm going to ask the band to come up as well. You know who you are.
I stand as a Christian today to testify because of God's amazing wisdom and grace, bringing me from darkness into the light. By God's grace, I grew up in a Christian home with believing parents who faithfully taught me scriptures and brought me to church. I learned that God created all things, worked powerfully throughout history, and demonstrated his love by coming to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to die for sinners. Yet these truths were mostly information and stories to me. I took pride in being knowledgeable about Christianity, answering Bible questions, memorizing verses, and reciting doctrine. I even sought baptism at age 7, but my motivation was not faith in Christ, so much as a desire to be seen as mature and knowledgeable. This is why I stand here today to be baptized. For the Bible says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Acts 2:38. And so baptism is for those who truly believe that they are sinners and in need of a Savior, and who have repented and turned to him. And at 7, I was neither. The reality was I was controlled by sinful pride. Proverbs 12:15 is true. A fool's way is right in his own eyes. My actions showed me to be a fraud. I was aggressive, dishonest, and hated being transparent, even to those who loved me. I delighted in crude jokes and sinful speech, walking in the very things Colossians 3:8 commands us to put away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. But by God's grace, he humbled me. First, he brought me to the realization that I was undeniably a sinner, one who didn't know how to show love and was chained to my addictions. Second, while trying to rationalize my circumstances with personal philosophies, I learned that my hope of easing my conscience with achievement and other people's approval was vain. Then through a church conflict and split, any false confidence I had in religion, church membership, or my own ability to please God was crushed. All my assurance in myself evaporated. I believe that during that time, the seed of the gospel my parents had faithfully sown began to leave its dormant state. The Lord brought mature believers into my life who demonstrated that faith is not merely about having the right beliefs intellectually. I saw this in their persistent prayers for our church to be provided a pastor, prayers that God answered by providing a youth pastor. His preaching on the wrath of God against sin, God's sovereignty, and the mercy that is shown to those who cry, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner," was impactful. But even more than his words, his life of prayer exposed the hypocrisy of my previous mental belief with no real obedience. I was jealous of his confidence in Christ. During that time, my heart was pierced for sins that others could not see, and I wanted to turn away from them, even if it meant embarrassing exposure and asking for help. For the first time, God's word was not merely information, but the law of Yahweh that revives the soul, makes wise the simple, rejoices the heart, enlightens the eyes, and is more desirable than gold and sweeter than honey. Where I once sought escape from my circumstances, I began to understand what it means to rejoice in the Lord. I have also witnessed God's faithfulness in emboldening me and many others to share his gospel. I thank God for all these things, yet I confess I did not want to be baptized because I was afraid that if my childhood profession of faith was not genuine, no confession I could ever make would be enough. In other words, I was focusing on my own righteousness, or lack thereof, rather than Christ's. But God has been patient with me. He has taught me that my hope is not found in the perfection of my repentance, but in Christ, who saves us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. So I stand here today and can say, praise God, because he has not only made me see my sin, but also the goodness and loving kindness of God my Savior. I cannot claim to be free from hypocrisy or sin, but through Scripture and the Lord's discipline, the Holy Spirit continues to make me desire to live genuinely for him. I stand to be baptized today in obedience to the Lord's command. I do not stand here because I have achieved a sufficient record of righteousness, but because Christ is a sufficient Savior. I ask that you, brothers and sisters, would hold me accountable to live according to this newness of life that Christ has already purchased for me. Thank you.
Carol, because of your clear understanding of the gospel, and even more, your faith, trust in it, in our Savior, evidence of changed life in Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.